The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Goldie's Closet, episode 60. It's a mile marker. With me today, one of my favorite all-time people in the world, renowned author. He does some pretty great writing. Put your hands together for Mr. Robert Lee Magoo. You have to clap now for yourself. Clap. That was great. Bob. Yeah. Bob, it's so good to see you, and I know you were having some technical difficulties today, and we really appreciate you being with us. The last podcast was Tom the Conservative. It got a little hot and heavy into politics, a lot of ranting and raving about the COVID and just how people have been acting and not being very responsible. And I got pretty angry just because I want to get back to work. You've been working. You're good. You're flourishing. Can you kind of allude to what you do or?
My job is I'm a clerk at a warehouse, and one of our contracts is we provide all the food to pretty much all the prisons in Alabama. Oh, so
say no more.
Yeah. So the rest of our contracts are with gas stations. So if you can't get toilet paper at a grocery store, people go to the gas station. So
I got it. No, I'm glad that you're doing well, but it is kind of weird for your writing and all of your other independent gigs like that kind of just has to, like the rest of us, be on hold, a mandatory pause. And I can't wait to get back to that. And I've been ordering a lot of books. I've been adding your books to amazon.com/shop/Goldilocks Rocks. Under books I love, you can see so many of Bob's just creations and awesomeness. And is there anything new that you're writing right now?
I just released a book about imaginary breeds of clams.
Okay, I missed that. So let's bring it up to speed. You released a book about imaginary breeds of clams.
Clams. For clams, yeah. For those who know me well, I really like puns. And it's basically a short book of a bunch of clam puns. I made up 10 different species of clams. It sounds really weird when you talk about it, and it's really weird when you read it, but it was just one of those deals that me and a buddy started working on years ago, and he was going to do all the art for it, and then I finally just, he never got done doing the art, so I just did a bunch of really crappy Photoshops of, like, clams onto, like, different things, and so that was all my illustrations. So
I like it. So when you look back at the 2020 COVID pause, you can definitely just associate that with Bob's new book of 10 different breeds of imaginary clams. Yeah. Wow, I would have never thought about starting out the podcast with that.
It's the essential guidebook to the secret lives of clams.
Are we allowed to talk about some of the other writing that you've done?
Well, yeah, because that's under an assumed name.
This is funny shit. Like, we're standing in line. I think we were in Birmingham, and we were at a Starbucks with the band on the road. We met up with Bob, and Bob just very casually, nonchalantly drops this bomb that he is writing.
Erotica. Smut books, basically.
Octopus for Amazon. Porn. I was hoping for more of just hitting us with octopus porn. Now, as we know, I've smashed my car last month, and when I was at the auto body shop getting it repaired, I don't know how we got on the topic of you, Bob, and you're writing an octopus porn, but we did. And needless to say, to my surprise, nobody was fazed by the octopus porn at all. Apparently, we had some octopus porn partakers, or maybe people that we're already so tired of it by now that they've moved on to the next phase, which I don't know. Where do you go from octopus porn to, where is there to go after that? I don't know.
Well, Well, for your intrigued listeners out there who are thinking, you know what, I want to make a career writing smut books for Amazon. The key is you got to find a real niche topic, real niche. The kind of the people who I found out about that got made a lot of money doing this. Mm-hmm. The guy who started it wrote Bigfoot erotica, and then started writing erotica.
You're fantasizing about getting laid by Bigfoot?
Well, hey, here's the thing. If you can think of it, I can guarantee you there's a few thousand people in America that's how they get their jollies. And if you're the only person writing what they're into, you get all their money. So how I got started was I did a Facebook post like, hey, female friends on Facebook, what is your weird fetish? Don't post it. Just message me. I took the weirdest ones and wrote some erotica about it.
That's wow. Way to get your supporters just, get people engaged. I mean, just, I would never in a million years ask anybody that follows me, what is your weird, because I don't think I can't unsee a lot of that.
Well, luckily for you, you're not a portly bearded guy. So
you're not that portly anymore, though. You've lost a lot of weight.
Ooh, I found it, though.
But you found a really hot chick. Is that still?
I did. We
left off with you months ago, and I guess things are going really well. I mean, you look happy in all your pictures. You barely ever get back to me anymore. I'm old news.
Been busy.
I know. I'm so happy for you. And there's some other people on the brand who I know found love, and that's exciting. And I'm getting ready to do this Patreon channel, and one of the things we're doing is a new dating show. It's like the old Dating Game or Chuck Woolery, and what did he do? There was Studs, there was Love Connection, but this is going to be a lot like the Dating Game, but it's going to be virtual. And we do have a name for it, and I'm going to announce that pretty soon. I'm just looking forward to finding a lot of guests that I can put together. Brand members, if you're listening to this right now, like, I really want to include you in this and figure out a nice panel that you can have an entertaining show. But then maybe there's that chance that you could meet a friend, maybe it's just platonic or maybe more. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be super exciting. Today we wanted to talk to you about just bad dates, because it's funny and I don't really share a lot of that. Bob's had so many bad dates, and last night when we were talking about that, Bob, I started to write down some and I couldn't think of any. And then this morning the floodgates opened and just so, so bad. And because it's entertaining, but maybe you'll learn a little tip, trick, or nugget out of what not to do. And to quote my deceased but awesome mom, she used to always say, "No one is ever completely useless, Moon. They can always serve as an example of what not to be." And I mean, that is just the truth with my dating. Like, you can't make up some of these stories, and your stories are way worse than mine as far as like what happens during them. And mine are just always like, people think, "Oh, well, she's attractive or she's pretty." My dates go like shit. Like, I wish that I had a date that went well. I mean, they start out okay, but they always end. You know what? My stuff always ends the same way, and it's funky. And then here comes the guy like 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, and the long email. Yeah, it's the same email, same time, same station. I was too much for them at the time, and then they had to process it, and then they're thinking about it, and then all of a sudden, will you take me? Hell no, I'm not going to take you back. Get it right out of the gate. Like, most women want a knight in shining armor. I just want a guy to like not be a dick on the first date or ghost me right after. And then if you're going to ghost me, then ghost me. But don't come back around and be like, blah, blah, blah. Especially when I have given you specific instructions on what not to do. Don't go down the rabbit hole online and look at all the stuff that I've done and going off about this, that, and ranting. Like, get to know me first, know where I'm coming from, and then you can look at all that stuff. Like, get to know me. Don't just stalk me online unless you've followed with me and grown and we've been friends and virtual friends forever. You're not going to understand. Don't even go that route. Bob, what's one of the really, now I have to review for our listeners and people watching, just, we got to just review the shower date, because that's just the classic, and it's just, it's horrible. And maybe you don't have to tell, you can give the Reader's Digest version, but this is, guys, this is a really shitty date. Like, this, it's a good one. Like, I got to open with this one again, because I love it.
Yeah.
Take us back, Bob.
All right. So a friend of mine, longtime friend of mine. Well, you ever had that friend that you're like, man, I just, if our schedules ever lined up, I think we'd be that perfect couple, you know?
No, Bob, I don't have one creepy asshole in my life where I think if our schedules ever, you know what? I did. Before the COVID, I had somebody, and we're going to get to that because he'll never listen to this because he's too busy doing his own podcast now. We'll get to that. But yeah, you have a friend and you always think if you're scared, what, first off, Bob, that's just complete bullshit. Okay.
Well, I meant like,
come on.
I meant both single at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fine. All right. Yeah. Let's go. Take the floor. You got it.
And she was like, oh, she hit me up like, basically, are you single right now? And
I was schedules like, yeah. Line up. Okay, if you're both not married, moving on.
Yeah. No. And so I thought she was about to see if I wanted to go out. And they said, oh, I got my neighbor. I would like to take you up my neighbor. And I was like, oh, okay, not what I wanted, but yeah, we'll go for it. Well, so we go on a first date, and it's okay. The date itself is fine, but I met her best friend during the date, and I took an instant dislike to her best friend, and I knew that was going to be an issue. So, but date two, she's like, hey, why don't you come over and watch Game of Thrones with me, which I've never seen, but that was apparently a deal breaker for her. She's like, oh, if we're gonna date, you gotta watch Game of Thrones with me. It's like, oh, okay, fine, okay, whatever.
Fair enough.
So I show up, I come in the door, and she's like, and the Goonies is on the TV.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, so she's like, would you like to watch the Goonies? Like, yeah, I'd much rather watch the Goonies. So we sit down, we're about 20 minutes into Goonies and chill, when her phone beeps. And she says, okay, hey, you need to go hide now. My kid's coming home.
This is just the best. You need to go hide now. Yeah. What?
Yeah, I had no clue. I knew she had a kid. I just assumed the kid was with her dad or something. I didn't know that the kid was next door. And she's like, okay, you need to go into my room and hide. I'm like, well, first off, you need to show me which is your room, because I will, knowing my luck, go into the wrong room, and I'll be hiding in her room or something. So she takes me back there. I go sit on the foot of her bed, and she leaves. Well, she left her bedroom door open, so I shut the door, thinking, hey, don't want the kid to see me. Well, what I don't see, and I'm later told, is the moment they walk outside, the little girl sees my car parked out in the road. She's like, there's someone at the house, isn't there? And the mom's like, no, there's no one there. So I hear them come in the door, front door, and the little girl says, there's someone here. And I was like, no, there's no one here. Said, well, why is your bedroom door closed? And I'm like, oh shit, oh, this little girl's going to come open this door. So I like James Bond tuck and roll into the bathroom, the attached bathroom. And I'm just standing there in the dark, because I don't want to turn the bathroom light on, because what if the kid opens the door and then sees that the bathroom light is on, and then he's like, oh, well, why is the bathroom light on? And then he comes and finds me. So I'm standing here in the dark for, it ended up being probably like 25 minutes. I heard her tuck the little girl in the bed, heard her read her a bedtime story. Little girl FaceTimed her grandmother, and during the FaceTime conversation, I can clearly hear her say, like, Nana, Mom says that there's no one here, but I think there's someone here. And at this point, I just want to come out and be like, little girl, you're right. Because she's going to have a complex when she grows up. So finally, kid's in bed. Girl walks back into her bedroom, comes to the bathroom, finds me, and is like, oh, hey, she's in bed now. And is like talking to me at full volume. I'm like, hey, whoa, whisper. If I could hear y'all, she can hear us. And she's just... So we finally... At this point, she's like, oh, well, let's watch Game of Thrones now. TV in the bedroom, but that's not hooked up to the internet. So we have to watch Game of Thrones, this hugely cinematic TV show,
this is
on her phone.
No.
Well, we're about 10 minutes into the episode when the little girl knocks on the door, the bedroom door. and I have to sprint back into the bathroom yet again to hide from this little girl. Luckily, after that time, I guess she was convinced that there was no one there, so she didn't bother us anymore. But get back on the bed. I'm big guy. I'm 6'1". I'm like hunched over the screen, and so it's not super comfortable. So I go to shift, and her bed, the frame didn't go to the wall. It went about a foot short of the wall. So when I slide back, the whole bed kicks up like this, like a bucking bronco. And then she tried to get me to stay the night. And I was like, so what am I supposed to do? Like, what time does your little girl wake up? Like, I'm not spending the night. Like,
this is weird.
It was not great. There was no third date.
I was going to say, was there? Because not most guys would be like, yeah, it sucked, but there was a third, fourth, fifth, and I'm still with her, and she's still sleeping in my bed.
No.
Yeah. No, that, I mean, no, I'm glad that that's a horrible story, and I'm glad that you ended it, because I know people 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years later that are still with. That's, I'll never understand that. Like, I've heard my dad on the phone when I've been home visiting, talking to his friends, saying, you know, my daughter, she just goes through them, you know, and I'm like, I go through them, Dad, because when I see a red flag in the beginning, that's a freaking red flag. It's not going to turn another color. It's red, the brightest color in the rainbow, pretty much, and the color of stop, you know. Nobody's going to change. They're not going to get any better. In fact, what you see with somebody right out of the gate, it's going to go downhill from there, you know? I mean, rarely do you hear, like, our love has grown and it's stronger than ever. I mean, that's a great story, but it's not everybody's story. So I want a fighting chance with somebody that I date. A funny story is, I remember, I don't know how many years ago this was, maybe 8, 9 years ago, creeping up on my birthday. My mom is still alive. If you have a terminally ill hospice parent, it's really tough. Anybody, it's very draining. And I wasn't even there. My dad was. And I was just, I remember my birthday was coming up and I was shot and I got on match.com and I'm shuffling around. I found this really hot guy and I was just like, I want to get to know this guy and I want some birthday sex. Like, that's all that I wanted out of the deal. And then he started saying a bunch of stuff about his lifestyle that just doesn't align with mine. Like, usually if you're doing all that stuff, like, there's trouble in River City and there's a reason why you're doing it. And go back to the root of the problem. I don't have time. I'm not your mom and I'm not your therapist. I've got plenty of other people that I help. I don't need my date to be that way. Anyway, needless to say, I'm like, well, I'm going to get a little nookie on my birthday. This guy lives out of town. We agreed to, you know, meet halfway. Fine. I tell him it's my birthday. And I think it was like a Friday. It was a Friday. And I had a long way to go. So I'm like, look, I have a lot of work to do. So I'm going to be in the car. Because he was a needy mother trucker, always calling and blowing me up. I said, I can't take your calls or texts because I'm going to be on business calls. I need to use these hours of drive time to get my work done so that I can see you and enjoy the night. I can't even tell you how many times this needy piece of whatever called. And it was like over nothing. I'm like, what do you want? Oh, just, how are you doing? I'm like, dude, stop. Like, I'm driving. Put your vagina away, please. And just meet me at the restaurant. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's a small town because we're meeting halfway. Okay, so you just pick what's the closest with something. One hotel, one restaurant, and like a McDonald's or something. That's it. One steakhouse, one hotel. That's it. We get there and I'm sitting at the steakhouse waiting, talking to people, having a good... He could not find that steakhouse. I'm like, dude, this is closer to your house than mine, and it's the only restaurant other than McDonald's, you dumb blonde stupid, just, you know, real pretty guy, but just not dealing with a bright deck of cards, bright bulb on a tree, whatever. We get there and I see him finally. He made the conquest, and he sits down. And we start talking about, you know, I'm in a band and I'm going to, and you know what he does? He puts his hands together. Now, this is 8 years ago and I still tour and do stuff now. He puts his hands together and he leans over and he goes, don't you think it's about time that you step back and maybe pursue management? And I was like, dude, I was like, if you want a limp, if I had a dick, it would be like this limp. Okay. And I could feel like my blood starting to boil because I'm like, I just wanted to have sex with this guy. And now I don't even want to look at him. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm like visibly angry. And I just thought, Goldie, you're going to get in the car right now and you're going to drive hours back home. Nope. Just so I said, why don't you shut your mouth and we're going to rewind. In fact, I wish that you would just get up and walk back into the restaurant and start this over. So we'll negate that, but just pretend that you started over and you sat down and I put my hand out and I said, hi. And I shook his hand. I'm Goldie. We proceeded to have a very uneventful, hollow and lame conversation. So I said, all right, let's go over to the hotel. Let's just get this done. You know, this is me. I'm like, freaking dude. We get over to the hotel. He didn't offer to pay for dinner. I think I paid for dinner. Strike one. We get to the hotel. No offer of could I pick up the hotel tab? Nothing. I think he was on his phone. Wait, before that, he couldn't find the hotel. Like, he kept calling me as I'm at the front desk trying to check in. He couldn't find it. I'm like, well, it's just walking distance from the steakhouse. Like, literally, you walked over like a median and that's where the hotel was. This is how dumb this guy is. And I'm just like, but he's really good looking. He's got a great body, athlete, like super. Anyway, fast forward. We do our business. I'm laying there. It wasn't even worth the drive. It wasn't that good. He's in the bathroom doing what guys do, washing their ball sacks afterwards. I don't know what y'all do. I'm sitting there and I'm feeling really hot. Like, not a good hot. Like I've got this fever coming on and I feel like I'm going to throw up. And then my body starts burning and I'm like, what's going on? Like, what's happening to me? And I kind of stumbled over to the nightstand and I picked up this wrapper and I looked at it. And it says latex condom. And I was like, oh, my God. And I said, now, granted, days before I mentioned I have a massive, massive latex allergy, not like a little, like bad. And I said, hey, did you get a latex condom? And he's like stumbling around in the bathroom. And he said, well, it's not that latex. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is 100% latex, you mother trucker. What? How could you do this to me? And he said, well, that's all that the gas station down the way had. And I'm like, I told you about this almost a week ago that I had a massive latex allergy. You just don't care about anything. And he's like, well. And he says, it's not my fault that you can't take a dick. That's all that he had was, it's not my fault that you can't take a dick. No accepting responsibility that you are a piece of shit who have destroyed my vagina and uterus with your wrongdoings. Next morning, it's raining. We go out. He walks me to my car, carries my suitcase, maybe. And as we approach my car, he goes, oh, is this your commuter car? No, it's just my car. It's not my commuter car. Oh, it looks like a car that you would just drive because you didn't want to drive your real one. Great. As I drove home in complete pain and burning excruciating agony, I had to wait until Monday to go to the Vanderbilt Clinic, where I saw my person who is really, really, you know, she's just a great doctor, a lot of expertise. We're friends. We get in there, get on the chair, feet in the stirrups, and I spread them. And she just said, oh, my God, what happened here? And I said, well, told her the story, and I gave her the punchline. And she just was like, Goldie, I've never seen anything like this before. Would you mind if I brought a couple of students in? And I'm like, all right, bring a few students in. Take a look at my vagina. If I can help science and medicine, I'm all for it. I'll be your team player. One by one, all of these young students come in, three on each side and the doctor in the middle. And one man just says, what happened here? Like the same thing. Because by now there's a rash spread from my labia folds to my knees. Okay. And it was really quiet. And the doctor looked at him and she said, she can't take a dick. It was the most irreverent, unprofessional, wrong, but it was really funny. And now a lot of people know my story about not being able to take a dick, and it's funny. And every once in a while when I screw up on stage, Rod Saylor, my best friend and our drummer, will say, well, you just can't take a dick. And it's a good joke. But I mean, that was just a horrible date. And all I want was a little birthday nookie. It works both ways, guys. Sometimes just the girl wants a little spanky spanky. But my God, at what cost and at what expense? I just can't take a dick. Moving on. And I ping it back to you. We've got we've got time for another couple of stories to entertain you on your drive home from nowhere since you're in COVID.
Yeah, I have a quick little related story.
Can't take a dick either.
Well, so I'm not going to reveal. This didn't happen. I was there. It didn't happen to me. A roommate of mine at the time, he was having sex with his girlfriend, and I was in the living room. They were back in his bedroom, and it gets late in the evening, and he comes out and he is hobbling. He is like very gingerly, just like and he sets a box of condoms down in front of me. He's like, "My dick is on fire. Find out why I'm taking her home." Turns out he had a spermicide allergy that he didn't know about, and they were spermicide like coated condoms, and he found that out the hard way.
That's absolutely horrible. I mean, that's a pretty sensitive area down there. You know, come on, people. Like, do your research or at least listen to what your partner's got to say. That's on the flip side of that. I'll match that story with a really great guy I thought at the time, who I guess probably is gay. Why do I have so many stories that end with, "and he's probably gay"? But anyway, I do remember when I told him, I think he bought like the Sam's or Costco equivalent to latex-free condoms. Like, there was condoms at his place for like the next 10 years. Like, he had planned on having a lot of sex. So
ambitious.
He was very ambitious. What's your next dating story? I won't keep you too long, but I want a couple more.
Okay. So I'll tell you, this one is not funny. This is possibly the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me in my life.
Do tell.
Okay. I had just recently gotten divorced and laid off. Nice 1-2 punch. I have a lot of free time on my hands. So I'm like, online dating. So met this girl, or I messaged this girl, didn't get a response. But I was like, you know what? She had a reference on her profile that I'd never seen anywhere else. And it was just so intriguing that I was like, you know what? I never do this, but I'm going to make a second try. And I messaged her again. I was like, hey, just seeing, maybe you didn't see my first message. Like, I don't want to bother you, but you sure referenced this book. Come on. You're the only other person I've ever seen our age who's read this book.
Yes.
And she messaged me at like 1 o'clock in the morning, which
Why not?
I had nothing else. And she's like, hey, do you want to go get some IHOP? There's a 24-hour IHOP near where we lived at the time. So,
okay.
You want to go to IHOP? I was like, sure. Okay. We go to IHOP, 2 in the morning, have a good time. Well, so for date 2, I was like, why don't you come over to my house and watch a movie? Because again, don't have a job. And she's like, sure. So we come over, I'm like, well, here are my movies. Pick out what you want to watch. And she picks a movie that has a very graphic, it's a horror movie with a very graphic rape scene in it. And I was like, hey, look, just a heads up, this has a very graphic rape scene in it. Like,
Jesus Christ.
I was like, I don't know. No, it'll be fine. So we start watching it. It was not fine. It was not fine. She was visibly uncomfortable. I was like, I had so many other movies she could have picked. Anyway, so afterwards, you know, I take her, like, kind of tour the house, show her my room, which is full of nerdy shit, as my room is behind me. Like, I'm a nerd. I don't hide this. Well, for date 3, she's like, why don't you come over to my house and watch a movie? Well, when I show up, she answers the door. She's like, hey, you need to be quiet. My parents are asleep. This is the first hint that I've received that she lives with her parents. I had no idea. And not only did she live with her parents, you go down the hallway and doorway, her room, their room. They share a wall. Oh my. So we get in there.
Oh
we, I picked James and the Giant Peach to watch because that's an amazing movie and doesn't have graphic rape scenes. So it's date appropriate. And so we're lying in bed watching the movie. And just there's a few things. One, the room had an odd smell to it. Like it
was
it wasn't musty. It was sour. Like it was just not a good smell. Two, I'm not a woman. Never have, never will be. So shaving my legs is not something that's on my radar. But if I knew I was going to be laying in bed next to a guy watching a movie, even if I knew I wasn't going to sleep with him, I would at least probably shave to the knee. Because it was like lying next to sandpaper. She was rubbing my leg raw with the prickles. But you know what? Whatever. Could have dealt with it. What finally happens is we're lying there and she farts.
No.
And she goes, oh my God. I'm like, what? She's like, oh, you don't want to know. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I don't want to know. She's like, no, you don't want to know. I was like, no, that's fine. I don't want to know. She's like, no, you really don't want to know. I was like, no, that's cool. I don't want to know. She's like, I farted. Why? Why would you say that? Why? God. So she then wrapped up the date by going on a rant about how she could never date someone who was into and then insert everything that I had in my bedroom, like D&D books, stuff like that. And so, and what's weird is I don't think it was directed at me. I think she honestly forgot I had all that shit in my room.
Sure.
She just...
That perceptive.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. We will never go out again. And that's where this should end. But cut pan. Now's where it gets scary. Cut pan, probably 4 years later. I'm talking with a girl. And we haven't gone out yet. We've been talking phone for a couple weeks. And I was in grad school at the time. So kind of schedule's kind of hard to get up. And so we said, hey, my roommate is having her birthday tonight. And we're going on a bar crawl. Would you like to come up and join us? Like, well, hey, yeah, no. And actually, I have a single roommate. I'll bring him as a date for the birthday girl.
Okay.
It's not perfect. This would be great. So we show up. And what was supposed to be bar crawl turned into we're going to the casino to gamble, but I don't gamble.
Yeah.
And I'm poor and unlucky. And so it would end up being the birthday girl gambling and three of us watching her gamble. But you know, small talk, having fun, you know, it's fine.
It's the lame
whole time. Lame. The whole time. It's bothering me. It's like the birthday girl, like I feel like I know her from somewhere. Like, where do I know her from? Now, let's say the girl who farted, her name was Amanda.
Okay.
The birthday girl has been introduced to me as Brittany. So I'm standing here, and it finally clicks. Oh, my God. Brittany is Amanda. Like, why is she pretending to be someone? Like, why did she change her name?
You didn't recognize her?
Well, you gotta think it'd been 4 years, and we only hung out 3 times, you know? And so we're there. We're in it. It's like, oh my God, this is Amanda, but she's introduced me as Brittany. Maybe that's her middle name. Why did she change her name? But I don't say anything. 5 minutes later, she looks over at me and is like, hey, do you know Amanda? And in my head, I'm like, yes, I know Amanda because you're Amanda. You are Amanda. Why are you pretending to be someone that's not Amanda? And she then proceeds to tell me a long, drawn out story about how Amanda was her roommate, but they had a falling out in Vegas, something to do with a broken leg. Da, 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 and she recognized me and thought I would know Amanda or something like that. But here's the thing. Me and Amanda only ever went out 3 times. Unless you were a waitress at IHOP at 2 o'clock in the morning, literally no one ever saw us together. There was never a picture taken of us. And I had lost about 70 pounds, had shaved my head, and had grown a beard in the ensuing 4 years. There's no possible way Amanda's roommate from 2 years ago would recognize me. You know, like she was pretending to be somebody else. And it makes me wonder, like, did she kill Brittany and assume her identity? Like, what the fuck was going on there? Like it was terrifying.
How did that end?
So freaked out. I messed things up with the girl I was talking to. But no, like after that night, I was super creeped out. I was like, ooh, staying away from that. And I got invited to go hang out at their apartment together, and I was like, oh no, avoiding her before she kills me.
What was the smell? Was it just constant farting, or like why did it stink in her room?
I think it was a smell from down under that had permeated her sheets is, I
oh,
think.
Oh, my. My goodness. Wow. I don't even know what to say to that.
So.
Let me think of a story that I have. So I've got one more dating story before we respect everybody's time. And I'm trying to think of, I've got the doctor. I've got the sauce man. I've got the booger picker. The booger picker is an interesting, that's an interesting story because it's something that I rarely never do. So I was talking to another guy. He was older. He was a business guy. It seemed like he really had his shit together, which is very attractive to me. I normally don't date older guys. He wasn't that much older. He wasn't like really good looking. He just was really good in business and in entertainment type stuff, but not like an actor or musician, but somebody with e-commerce and whatnot. We had a lot in common and things that I wanted to learn. So it was nice conversations. We decided to meet up in Little Rock, Arkansas for a West End Smokehouse show, which again, I would never do this, but he flew into Nashville and we drove with the band. No, excuse me. He flew into Arkansas and he was going to meet me at the hotel we were staying at and then go over to the venue. Okay, fair enough. So keep in mind, I have to perform that night. I'm there for work. And he was in his room. He said, come see me. And I did. And I remember walking down the hallway of the same hotel that we've stayed at for years before they closed West End. So sad. We loved playing there. And I went to meet him. And the first thing he did is open the door. And I walked in and he grabbed my shirt and he pulled down my shirt and my bra. He went, wow, those are nice. And I was just like, so I'm like completely, that was just too much, too soon, too. I mean, it's not like we were like on the phone, walking down the hall, hot and heavy. Like it was like, I had never met this guy before. And that was the first thing they did. And I pulled up my shirt and I was like, hey, bro, back off a little bit. He's like, well, I flew all the way here. And I'm like, yeah, good. That's great. Good for you. We're going to get ready now and I'll meet you at the venue. You can drive over with us. And he's like, well, do you want to do it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I want to go back to my room and get ready for the show. And we're going to drive over there. So you don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do it. It was like this bad rewind throwback to Chris Farley on SNL. Do you want to do it? It was so creepy. So we do the show. He was very impressed. He was very kind. He was buying everybody drinks. Very gentlemanly like that. We get back. I'm exhausted. You got to load in. You got to, he did help carry some things in, which was nice. And then, you know, after we don't strike because we got another show the next day, but I'm tired. It's a 4-hour show. Go back. I got a lot of makeup to scrub off. I have a lot of stuff to do. I said, let me get ready. I was with my bandmate and then I'll come down to your room and I'll spend the night. I think he was blowing up my phone. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I'm getting ready. Like, let me come. By the time I get down there, all cleaned up, still pretty looking, but just not with like death makeup on from stage. He's like in bed and he's naked and he's half asleep. And anyway, I crawled into bed and I was like, just, you know, small talk until we got ready for business. And it's just like, I noticed there was just all of these like chips in the bed and like Oreo shavings and just food everywhere. Because while I was getting cleaned up, he apparently like knocked off everything we bought at the gas station, which he bought stuff for my boys. And I appreciate that. But like, don't eat it all in bed. And then you want me to get in there. So anyway, so do you want to do it? I'm like, no, can we just have some foreplay or can I get to know you a minute before we just do it? Like, I'm glad that's what's on your radar, brother. But and I'm like over doing my business and I kind of rolled over and he was on top of me and I was like, oh, I felt like this just severe pain in my anus. And I was like, what just happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Once I peeled my butt cheeks apart, a Dorito point size was wedged up my asshole. A full Dorito. I don't know how this happened where it didn't break. But I mean, that sucker was pointing with no lube and it hurt. And I felt the tear and I was angry. And he looked into my eyes and he said, do you want to do it? And I said, you know what? I don't want to do it. And here's your freaking Dorito. And I'm going to go back to my room because I need to sleep because I have to rest my voice. I'm tired and I'll see you in the morning. We'll go somewhere on the boardwalk. And then he's calling me all night long. Where are you? I'm like, I'm down the way sleeping, trying to without Doritos up my ass. I'll see you in the morning. I wake up, I turn my phone off, all these missed calls, all these, just like these guys, I don't know what they're just wait your turn. Just wait your turn. We had a nice day, a nice date on the boardwalk, whatever. We did the next show Saturday night. He was very gracious, taking pictures. He was very proud to be with me, and I appreciated that. Again, he wants to do it. I don't want to do it. I just can't wait to get done with this guy. He's just so gross, like just really gross, you know, successful but dirty and unsanitary. And I'm done. The drive home, we get there, we get in. The first thing he wants to do, I know it's going to be hard to guess, but he wanted to do it. And I just said, I can't remember if we did it or not. I was just so done. I think maybe he got like a mercy do it, like you flew all the way here. Please get out of my life. I don't ever want to see you again. Yeah, I think we did. And I think as I rolled over completely disgusted and wondering why I just did that, because I was just like, I didn't even want to do that. I found absolutely zero pleasure in having sex with you. I rolled over and I just felt like this rustling of some sort. And I was like, what is this? Like this moving, like the moving. I was like, God, can I just get some sleep with this guy around? And no, he was on his phone or something. I kind of did the like, get up, look over at him, and he is just digging to China, like the whole arm movement, like putting in the bicep and the whole arm rotation. I don't know what he was digging for, if he was practicing like some ancient Egyptian, you know, embalming practice, whatever. It was so disgusting, and I just remember thinking like, I'm gonna throw up. Let a man that I just touched is just digging his nose. Anyway, when he got up in the morning to go have me take him to the airport, I taco folded that, the sheets, everything. And you know what I found while I was doing it? Boogers. Boogers that have been wiped on my 1,000 Egyptian, speaking of Egyptian, thread count duvet. He wiped all of his boogers in the night in the same spot as if he was collecting it for like the apocalypse or saving them for later. And I think I washed those sheets and duvet 3 times with a little bit of bleach because they were light colored but not white. And I think I burned them. And as we went to the airport, he just was on the phone. He didn't have any time for me. He didn't even want to give me a hug or kiss goodbye. And frankly, I was thrilled. I sent him on his way. I never wanted to see him again. I get a text later on that night saying, you know what? I've been thinking a lot about this. I know we live, you know, far away, but I think we can make this work. And I was just like, bro, you are just like, what part of this horrible weekend did you miss? It was really bad. Like, just the booger picker and the Dorito chip up my anus.
Well, that's one way to spice up a relationship.
It was bad, Bob. Those are a couple of my bad dates. I have way more, so we will have to reconvene in a month or so. But do you have one last story of something bad, just for people to not feel bad about themselves out there?
I have a kind of weirdly related story. This is nothing to do with relationships or anything, but I was camping one time. Me and my friends, we like to go camp every so often, you know, just go out in the woods, get drunk, have a good time. Well, we've been camping. It's rocked on late. Time to go to bed, you know. And me and a buddy were sharing a tent. Well, I'm laying there in bed in my sleeping bag. I'm trying to go to sleep, and I just keep hearing this like clapping noise. Like, and in my head, I'm like, oh God, please tell me he's not.
Oh,
he's
no.
Not.
No.
And so no. I'm like, oh God. Oh God.
Like,
and
next
kinda, like,
to you?
I turn my head and he's playing a golf game on his phone. Oh. And every time he makes a shot, it's doing clapping noises. And I was like, oh, hey, is the noise bothering you? Which it was. But I was like, oh no, it's fine. He's like, good. Cause I'm not going to stop playing. Thanks. Thanks for that. So,
wow.
I just talked out soon thereafter, but that made me think of your digging in there.
Before you tell your last story, there's a very prominent group of writers in Nashville. They write all of the hits for the country music stars, as I itch my nose. And there is another writer that I guess very famous who they would tour with. And I guess they stopped at a rest stop or something like that. And it gets weird. He stopped at a rest stop. Everybody did their business, did the vending machine gimmick. One of the guys just like went off on his own on his phone, and he was off in the wilderness for like a little too long or something. Well, I guess he went off to like spank one out. Like apparently he needed some woods alone man time to just spank the monkey. That's odd. You know, I guess things happen on tour where you just need some space. But what's really odd is the one other writer, he said. Because the guy that was jerking off tells the story like right when he was getting ready to climax. The other guy apparently had come to find him but was just watching him the whole time. Right when he was getting ready to blow his load, the other guy goes, and there it is. I'm going to give it to you one more time. And there it is. I don't know if he clapped like your friend playing the golf game, but like, dude, you freak. Why are you watching? And then why are you going to give like the final play-by-play call? And the guy said he was so creeped out when he heard like this voice from over his shoulder, like that was going to like help him climax. I think he said like he just was freaked out. And that was, so anyway, like that's just a weird trip.
It is.
They're the story. These are the stories from the road. All right, close us out with one more story, and then I'll let you go.
Okay, this is we'll keep the jerking it theme alive, and let me tell you the story of my college roommate.
Okay,
so my freshman year of college, I lived in the dorm, and I didn't know anyone that was going to the same college as me that was staying on campus. All the people I went to high school with, we all lived close enough to the college that you weren't required to live on campus.
Great.
But I wanted that college experience. So because of that, I didn't put any preference as to my roommate. So I guess they put me with the only other guy who had no preference. And you could not have put two more dissimilar people in the room together. I'm sure he was a perfectly nice guy, but I think in two semesters, we may have said 20 words to each other, like just wildly dissimilar people. Well, for example, he made a playlist of songs at the beginning of the first semester and listened to it the entire two semesters we were together.
Was he gay?
It was.
That's like a gay guy thing.
It was 50 minutes of like hardcore gangster rap, and then the song Feel Like Making Love. Every 50 minutes for two semesters, the song Feel Like Making Love played in our dorm room, and he would listen to it on headphones, but so loud I could still hear it.
Sure.
So I spent as little time in the dorm room as possible. I would go home frequently, so you would think he could take care of everything while I was gone, because I was frequently not there. But there was one night after he thought I'd gone to sleep, I clearly heard that rustling noise that any guy who's ever done it would instantly recognize. So I'm totally grossed out. And you got to think, these dorm rooms, the beds were in the same room. It was two beds basically 3 feet apart from each other. Like, it was far too close. Highly disturbing. All right, so It rocks on to the end of the semester. It's time for us to move out. And his parents have shown up, and I told him, like, hey, man, they're taking him to lunch. Like, hey, I'm going to find a broom. I'll sweep out the room, and then you'll never see me again.
Sure. And
I go get a broom, and I start to sweep. Now, I have red hair and brownish hair, and the curtains match the drapes. And I start sweeping up tiny little black hairs from everywhere. Everywhere. They were on the windowsill. My bed was under the window. Like, all I can figure is anytime I wasn't there, this guy was like plucking his pubes and just throwing them around the room like confetti. Like, they were everywhere. I probably have black lung from inhaling 6 months of little cubes. Like, they were everywhere.
I can't.
And I swept up a pile of pubes.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I never did the dorm life. Oh.
Oh, after that, I moved in with a buddy I started playing D&D with that needed a roommate. And he was weird, but he kept his weirdness in his room, you know?
Dude, I can't even. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that our stories of horror and disgust and Doritos and pubes have entertained you for a full 50 minutes of the brand once again on the Realm Network, Vince Russo's brand. We love you. Bob, tell everybody, Tales by Bob is one thing that they can go look for. As this on, yeah. You can look on my site, amazon.com/shop/Goldilocks Rocks. All of Bob's books are under the category books I love. And I'm going to give a plug right now because it's my show. And then on your show, you can plug yours. I am an affiliate. I am an influencer. So guys, if you remember that website and you go there, anything you buy after you click on my website, and it's late enough in the show that's embedded, I get credit for that. I make a couple pennies. So would you just use my website anytime you're on that popular shopping website? It helps me out a ton. Check out Bob's books. He's got a lot of non-octopus porn. He's got a lot of really great books. So they can either go there, they can just go to Amazon and look up Robert Lee Magoo, Tales by Bob. You also have a podcast that I think a lot of our members would really enjoy and maybe even support. And it is Books, Beards, and Booze. Yeah. And you've got your shirt on right now, Books, Beards, and Booze. And you review books with your beard while drinking booze. Is that about it?
Mostly, yeah. Me and my co-hosts, we talk about books. It's very, very vulgar.
right very up crass, our, but, right yeah. up our audience's alley. Everybody would enjoy that, and obviously, yours truly enjoys a good vulgar conversation since that's been in the entire episode 60 podcast. But what else? You've got the Clam book that's hot off the press. I'd better add that to my. Is that on Amazon?
It is. It is.
Okay, so I'm going to add that to my best-selling list of books I love. I'll have to check this out. I'm going to go buy it today. And then how does that work? Because I go to your influencer site. Can I click on yours and buy from you through that? But will you still get credit? Okay. So everybody, Bob is the one that told me about influencing and about being an affiliate. They're about the same thing. And, you know, I didn't hear his message for a long time. And then I was like, wow, I can earn a few extra bucks by basically just telling you all to please click on amazon.com/shop/Goldilocks Rocks. Just click on it before you do any shopping at all. Even if you don't buy anything that I suggest, it still helps. And then because I can't buy from myself, I go to Bob's site. I go to Books, Beards, and Booze, and I click on the merchandise link, which takes me to your affiliate site, and I buy from Bob. Bob, I bought some stuff this week and today, and I love supporting you. So check out his writing; it's fun, it's whimsical, it's definitely entertaining. And Bob, I just can't thank you enough for just having a fun conversation. I try to change it up all the time, where sometimes things are really serious. We talked about vaginas and clitorises a few weeks back with Dr. Brooke Fott. Tom the Conservative weighed in last night, which is a funny podcast, but very serious. And then we try to just bring you, you know, cool people. And Bob, you've just been great. So signing off, wave to everybody. Thank you. Goldie's Closet, episode 60. Enjoy your week. Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Goldilocks, and you're inside Goldie's Closet. And I want to ask a favor of you all, whether you watch the show or not. Come to our band shows, what have you. It's something that you can do to support, and it costs nothing and no time at all. If you shop on a very popular online website, I would really appreciate it if you would bookmark some of the items that you are shopping for. And if you could just simply do this, go to goldieknows.blogspot.com. If you go over to the right, all the way to the bottom, the About Me section, there's a link. It just says I'm an Amazon affiliate. If you click on that, it takes you inside my umbrella, and everything that you order I can earn just some help and support to keep all of this going, to keep the band going. We've got a hefty vehicle repair. It's pretty substantial. So it would be really great if you could remember my link. We get some support. It's that simple. I love you all. Thank you for making the time to stop by and check out everything that we're doing. Mwah.